Hey everyone, and welcome back to Gossip. I'm Erin.
And I'm Caroline.
And welcome back.
Every time, we've had to do this three times because every time she I say my name,
it sounds funny. I laugh.
She laughs at me. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But
if
anyways,
I screamed. I don't know.
Welcome back for episode three.
A lot has happened in this past week. Some good, some bad. But we're here to chat about all of it. So grab your glasses and listen up for some more gossip. I feel like this podcast has been such a fun sense of joy in my anxiety-ridden life.
Oh my god, so fun. Like, we were just talking earlier about how we're so stressed, like, in general. Like, I'm stressed at work. Like, she's stressed at work, whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were just like, wait, I'm actually really looking forward to this because it's
just
so
like
much fun.
A little slice of positivity in our week. So, you know, doesn't really matter what we talk about. It's just fun.
Exactly. And just as a reminder, in case there are any new listeners, we're sisters.
Oh,
Caroline's older, I'm younger. Probably not. And we just kind of talk everything, anything that's worth talking about, we want to chat about it. And we're sipping on a glass of Prosecco. We hope you're sipping on something as well. But we just want you to enjoy the gossip with us.
Yeah, so I mean, let's get into it. I guess we can start with Ariana Grande was on SNL this past week. I don't know if anyone else has watched it, but obviously, I'm not like a religious SNL watcher, but I always see the clips like everybody else. And I looked it up on YouTube, and I mean, lover or hater, she is such a star.
Like, she's such a star.
She just radiates so much confidence. I don't understand it, but she's a powerhouse. I wasn't really sure the direction her monologue was going in, but then she started singing everything instead of talking, and I was like, this makes so much sense.
It's so her.
It was so good, though. Did you watch any of it?
Yes, and what I heard so much about from my friends was the skit of them singing the, like, parody to Espresso. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. My friends wouldn't stop singing it, but it was hilarious.
Something,
something, Domingo.
Yes. Well, did you watch the skit?
Yeah, but, like, only once.
Yeah, it was, like, the bridesmaids or whatever, and they were singing a song exposing the bride from her... Anyway, that was a good
You'll have
skit.
To watch it. It was hilarious.
My personal favorite was My Best Friend's House, and she's dressed up like a little, like, schoolgirl going to her best friend's house about, and, like, she's so nice, and her dad's always cooking food, and, like, the whole skit is essentially going to your best friend's house, and, like, it smells like your best friend's house, but then the end of the skit, dad was, like, a serial killer, and she found a chopped-off frozen head in, like, the freezer.
Oh, my God!
And I was like, well, that took a turn I wasn't expecting, but honestly, it was kind of my favorite, because it was just super weird.
That's so out of pocket. I was not expecting for you to say that.
No. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to watch it. But, yeah, good shit, Ariana. Good shit.
Good shit. And I saw her Celine Dion impression, which she always kills.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So funny.
Oh, she's so good at impressions. Oh, my God. I've watched, I think it was 2019? I can't remember exactly when.
Ago.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
Just a little stress heartburn, you know.
Yeah. But, I watched, when was it that she did all those impressions? Because I think I've watched that like 1,000 times.
I have no idea when it was.
I don't know. Either way, her SNL impressions are a good thing to look up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, lots of stuff going on. I previously have talked about Dancing with the Stars. And Brooks Nader and Gleb Savchenko.
That was good. I mean, it sounded good to me. I don't know what it's supposed to be, but
I don't know
good.
If I butchered that. But either way, I was the first episode I was talking, and I was so focused on, like, Joey and how, like, professional him and Jenna are and yada yada. But Brooks and Gleb completely just blew that out the fucking window, because now I think they're dating.
What?
Yeah. They took my sentiment and just, like, threw it out the window.
From the last episode? Or
yeah,
the first episode?
From the first one.
When you were like, oh, they're so professional. It's just, like,
it's
dance.
Just
it's just
job.
A job. Well, maybe that's what it is to, you know, clearly the Jenna and Joey situation, but
I mean, all season they've had this, like, flirty chemistry, and they were kind of rumored to be more than just dance
partners. I feel like that's crazy, because I feel like everyone on Dancing with the Stars, like, everyone says, like, everyone has flirty chemistry and everyone's rumored to be dating. Yeah, and, like, I don't know. But was it more than...
It was, like, a little bit more than, like, the huge. And, like, yeah, you have to do intimate dances. You have to have chemistry in general.
Yeah.
But they were eliminated. And then Brooks posted a TikTok of her and Gleb making out, which basically confirmed what everybody already thought. Gleb.
Okay, just wanted to confirm.
G-L-E-B.
Okay, no double B?
No. I don't have much else to say about this, but I can't tell if I'm, like, annoyed or, like, happy for them, because I'm just like, oh, God.
You're like, damn it, I went through all those lengths to defend the dancers and stars.
I really was trying to be like, go Kelsey, because, like, Joey's so professional, and then these two assholes just, like, threw that out the window.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Whatever. Hope they're happy.
Well, thanks for the update. I feel like... since our first episode, I still haven't watched much Dancing with the Stars or kept up with much of the drama, except I've seen, like, the clips of the dancing on, like, Instagram and stuff, and it looks...
Yeah, I don't really watch... killing it. I don't really watch the show, like, every night it's on, but I see the popular clips just like everybody else, and I saw something about the TikTok, and I had to go on.
And get all the tea?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good drama. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to segue into this next topic here that we definitely wanted to cover because we think it's obviously super important and has affected a lot of people. And that is the death of Liam Payne, which is which is extremely tragic here. And he passed away in Argentina, and it's definitely sent, like, shockwaves through the music world and, of course, like, his devoted One Direction fan base. And I think also... I was just chatting with a friend at the gym earlier. We were talking about this. Like, even if you weren't a huge One Direction stan, like, everyone knows a bunch of One Direction songs. And, like, that was all of, like, everyone's childhood. Like, middle school was One Direction for everyone our age. Like,
No, I kind of relate to that because growing up, I wasn't the biggest One Direction fan. I knew their songs, like, their popular songs, and I knew who they were because they were, like, probably one of the biggest boy bands in our generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, dare I say, zillennials.
Is that the term?
Well, because I'm going off topic here. We don't identify with Gen Z. And we are not millennials. So somewhere in the middle. People have deemed us zillennials.
Ah, I like that. We should actually have a whole episode about that.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was really sad. And I actually found myself feeling really upset about it.
Yeah. I was really upset about it, too, and I think, like, again, like, I, of course, love One Direction, but I wasn't, you know, the biggest stan, like, I wasn't a hardcore fan like a lot of people were, and, like, I think it just affected really everyone, and it's just so sad. He was only 31 years old, and kind of just the circumstances surrounding his death, which, you know, I can get into here. So, essentially, he was in Argentina to visit Niall Horan, of course, and just support him at his concert in Buenos Aires. So, Liam had posted on Snapchat earlier this month that he was visiting Niall for a catch-up, and I have a quote here that he said, you know, it's been a while since me and Niall have spoken, and we've got a lot to talk about. But he said, no bad vibes or anything like that, but we need to talk.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably just had a lot to catch up with.
Yeah, just had been a long time, so...
Life gets busy.
Yeah, so essentially what happened in Argentina in the past couple of weeks here, Liam attended Niall's show, sharing, you know, videos on social media with his girlfriend Kate Cassidy, and they really enjoyed the concert together. So, so there was a fan who spotted him on September 30th and described him as fine and really dismissed any rumors that he was under the influence, saying he chatted with us, hugged us, and joked around. And then that same fan saw Liam again at Niall's performance, noting that, you know, he was dancing, waving, cheering. Yeah, so she said he appeared to be having a really great time, despite, you know.
Yeah, he looked at it. And you know what I found kind of upsetting was that, like, he was dancing and singing and kind of hyping up the crowd. And people really took that as, like, he was trying to draw attention to himself. But
no, he was there to support a friend.
He was, like, there to support his good friend, Niall, who he once performed with for many, many years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think... in the days leading up to it, he got a lot of unnecessary hate.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so after that concert on Wednesday, October 16th, Liam tragically fell to his death. And it was the day after his girlfriend had left Argentina. So He had been actively documenting his trip on Snapchat, you know, posting about food, plans to play polo, and, like, even making funny jokes about his hair. So, like, he was clearly in good spirits, you know, there visiting his friend Niall. And there was no updates where he mentioned the Casa Sur Hotel, which is where he was staying shortly before his death.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd note that. So it said here, it said on, in my research that, you know, emergency services were contacted around 5 p.m. local time in Argentina by the hotel staff, who reported a guest that was overwhelmed by drugs and alcohol and who was destroying his room. So the hotel's front desk manager expressed, you know, concern about the guest's safety because he knew that there was a balcony on his third floor room, which was approximately 45 feet above the courtyard in the center of the hotel. Yeah. So emergency services were called at 5 p.m. and then police arrived minutes later at 5:07 p.m. where they found Liam's body there, and he was pronounced dead at the scene with no chance of resuscitation.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to add here that there was pictures, I think, that came out on like TMZ, posted to Twitter, and of his body, which is so like, I feel like that's that awful. This whole situation was treated with no sensitivity at all, and like he has a child, like he has a family, like I'm just like, wow, like that picture is going to circulate forever, and that poor child and anyone in his life who was important to him or he was important to has to see that, you know.
Yeah, I've also found it to be incredibly disgusting the way social media has gone about this. I mean, my whole Instagram feed has been overtaken by reports of his death, the autopsy afterward, and it just has been handled with such an insensitivity to him and the people that he left behind.
And his loved ones, yeah.
And to be quite honest, this is happening, and I had a conversation with my coworker, one of my coworkers, about this. I was like, why is every, like, I get it's news, and I get people get their news through Instagram, but why is it why does it feel so much more excessive? And they were like, money. They're making money from posting
this. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure TMZ made bank off that awful photo that they posted. And it's like, it's just so upsetting. Like, that was terrible. A human life that, you know, like, it's not just a celebrity that, I don't know. It just really devastating. It's a human life. He was a father, a brother, a son. Like, you know, it's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just moving forward here with just kind of some more of the information surrounding this tragic event. So an autopsy did reveal that Liam had sustained multiple traumas and had internal and external hemorrhaging, with preliminary reports indicating that he had 25 injuries consistent with a fall from a significant height, is what was reported. So mm-hmm. It was also noted that he may have been fully or partially unconscious when he did fall. So, yeah.
But, yeah, it came out today that, unfortunately, you know, he had a lot of different substances in his system, including, like, well, I don't need to list them because, you know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just overall super tragic.
Yeah, definitely. And authorities have interviewed 5 witnesses, including 3 hotel staff members and 2 women who were with Liam before he died. And investigators are also looking into the possibility of the involvement of third parties, perhaps, kind of in the events leading up to his tragic fall here. So Liam's death is currently being treated as suspicious, kind of prompting a deeper investigation into, you know, his final hours and the people that he interacted with.
Yeah, I haven't personally seen or heard anything about that, but
So I'm sure there's, you know, more to come as the case comes to a conclusion here, but, you know.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think his bandmates and loved ones expressed some really nice statements.
Yeah, definitely. And I have a couple of things here. You know, of course, the story here is overall super tragic here, but his bandmates did express their heartbreak here, with Harry Styles stating, "Liam was a brother to me. I can't believe he's gone. His light will always shine in our hearts." And Louis Tomlinson added, "We shared so many memories together. It's important to imagine, it's impossible to imagine a world without him." And Liam's ex-girlfriend, Cheryl, and also the mother of his son, shared her grief, saying, "Liam was a wonderful father and friend, and his kindness touched everyone around him." And his current girlfriend, Kate, really echoed this sentiment here, expressing, "Liam had an incredible spirit. I will forever cherish our moments together forever." And lastly here, in a statement from his family, they reflected on, you know, their profound loss here. "Liam was our everything.
He had a heart of gold and was always ready to help others. We are devastated but grateful for every moment we had with him. So, you know, as tributes pour in here from fans and fellow artists alike, it's clear Liam's impact on the world will, you know, never be forgotten. And this was a really, you know, tragic event felt, you know, for everyone.
For sure. And I saw some things today about fans setting up like a big memorial, and people had gathered and they were singing like a One Direction song. I think they were singing Story of My Life, I think it was. And I don't know, it was very nice. And it's clear that a lot of people loved him and cared about him. So
definitely.
We just wanted to touch on that because it's something that is really important that has been happening in the media today. Yeah. And
just another thing too is, I don't know if you saw this, Caroline, but I know Zayn, I think he was on tour, and I think he's ended up kind of postponing some of his tour.
Yes. And Simon Cowell has stopped auditions for The X Factor, I believe it is. He stopped auditions for that so that he can grieve. So this has affected a lot of people. And I hope that the media and people can recognize that this is a person who had family and loved ones, and to treat it with a little more kindness and respect than how it was treated.
And I think it's just awful that, you know, of course there's rumors and drama and all the stuff that comes out about a person, but like at the end of the day, you know, whether things that came out about him happened or not, you know, he's still a person. None of us know him, you know, like reading the media and, you know, reading things about him, like he was still a person who was loved by his mom and his dad and his son and, you know, all the people around him. So I just think it's important to kind of take a step back, because I think people kind of get caught up in the...
get wrapped up in the... what they think, or like saying things behind their phone screens that they think won't have an effect, and it does, and people just
think it doesn't.
The tale as old as time. People need to be more aware.
And I think there are people, you know, whether you're making a comment or a post, and it's kind of these internet trolls who kind of say these awful things, I would say, but I think it's naive to think that at least some of those comments aren't seen by, you know, his family, and these are things that are forever on the internet, and he has this, like, I think his son's about 7 years old. You know, like, he's going to get a phone at some point where he's scrolling through Instagram and he's going to see all this stuff. And I just think it's just awful and so insensitive. And I just think, you know, no matter, you know, what happened in someone's life, like, just take a step back. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cheryl Cole, the mother of his child, had posted something else and essentially said, like, let him go out with the dignity that he has left, because someday his son is going to grow up and he's going to see all these nasty things that were posted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is not the memory he needs, nor does she want him to have of his father. So,
no, exactly.
Long story short, just be kind, because you don't know what people are going through.
Exactly.
And it's just very unfortunate.
Right. And all we saw was, you know, what was portrayed in the media. So, like you said, be kind. You never know what someone's going through. We only, you know, see what's on the surface.
Yeah. So, moving away from that note to something a little bit lighter, I saw something about Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh. Is that how you say her last name? Pugh?
Pugh.
They're filming
a new...
What did
you think it was? Pug?
Well, that's how my brain...
I know, yes.
It.
Sorry, Florence Pugh.
But they're filming... did you see that they're filming a movie?
It's called... Yes, We Live in Time, isn't it?
Yeah. Hasn't come out yet, but I'm sure I'll go see it. Because I love a sappy romantic movie.
I've heard it's like, you know what it's about, right?
Yeah, I think it's sad.
I'm a huge movie crier, and I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah.
I still haven't,
I don't know if I'm going to say this, and people are going to think I am a psychopath. I've never cried at a movie, or a show, or a book.
You're obviously a cold-hearted bitch. So, and you know what's funny? Caroline's way more outwardly emotional than I am, like, in general. Like, I'm not that emotional of a person, but, like, put a sappy, sad movie in front of me, like, I'll sob. Like, I cried at Homeward Bound when the dog came home.
Yeah.
Like, I can't handle it.
I actually remember, this is a core memory that I have.
Yeah.
Our babysitter at the time, she put on this movie, Homeward Bound, and she was like, guys, I'm gonna cry, just so you know. And we were like, that's really? Okay.
No, I was like, that's so dramatic, it's just a silly dog movie. And then I was sobbing along
and
with
I
her.
Look over, and Aaron and our babysitter are crying their eyes out, and I'm like, yes, it was happy, yes, I do feel the emotions, I just don't cry. you know, I need a movie that'll bring me to tears. I don't know. I'm starting to feel a little insane.
Bring me to tears.
Sorry. Anyway, moving back to Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh. They're filming this movie, and I've seen all over Instagram that they had to, you know, they had to film a sex scene for the movie. And according to Andrew Garfield, they were, like, you know, really in character, you know, doing the scene. And apparently they didn't hear the director's yell cut. And so they just kept going. And when the two of them realized the scene had already ended, the guy filming had his back turned to them and all the cameras were off and everybody had, like, left.
Oh.
And filming had stopped.
Oh, so my God.
I just want to know, like, right off the bat, what do you think of that?
Wait, that is so awkward, to be honest. And, okay, my first immediate thought is, like, genuinely they didn't hear the person yell cut. Like, they're probably so, like, absorbed in the scene. Like, I think it's a very emotional movie and actors get really into it, obviously. Like, that's my first thought. Like, no way.
That was also my first thought. But do you know how loud cut is?
Yeah, but, like, what, if you're that immersed in your craft, like, you never know.
I guess.
I don't know. Maybe that's just...
Actors get really into depth with their characters, and sex scenes are obviously super staged, but...
It was, like, a full-fledged sex scene that they were recording?
Yes.
Wait, that's crazy.
It's not like they were just, like, making out in the corner the cut cue.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I do hear what you're saying, but part of me is, like,
was there something more?
Like, that's interesting. It's also, like... This could be false, but it was also reported that Andrew Garfield and his girlfriend have broken up since then. I don't know the timing of things. It could have been before, but if it was after, then that's kind of wild.
OMG.
He also brought to...
Are we starting rumors here?
I don't think I care. But I just thought the whole thing was super interesting, and he laughed about it, and he did an interview about it and whatever, but he was the one that, like, offered up the information. He was like, yeah, this crazy thing happened, and then, like,
that is so funny. So that's also the thing that makes, well, or does it make him more guilty? Because I'm like, I feel like if he offered up the information, like, he probably thought it was funny,
probably,
and, like, completely innocent. Or are you trying to cover your tracks there, you know?
I don't know. You know what? I'm sure this has happened more than once. I'm just wondering if maybe he's like, no shame, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, actors and actresses who are super talented, like Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield, have to get so in depth with their character and
in so depth into it and, like,
with the scenes that they're filming. And I'm pretty sure this is an incredibly emotional movie.
Oh, yeah. So that's what led me to believe. I'm like, oh, maybe they were just, like, really in, like, I don't know.
Which it probably is.
I get, like, really into some, like, stuff and don't hear things, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. And I feel like I'm not a freaking actor, so.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, no judgment, but my first initial thought was like, that's funny.
That's hilarious.
That's suspicious.
That is suspicious. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, since Caroline mentioned this at the beginning of the episode here, she mentioned Zillennials, and I just wanted to talk about this for a second. And I want to explain exactly what it is. I just pulled it up on my phone so I could read it to you guys. And then I want to hear, maybe we'll make a post on Instagram or something, and you guys can, like, let us know how you feel about it, you know, if you identify more with Millennials or Gen Z.
Yeah, because it's not association. It's like, I am part of Gen Z. But I'm on, like, the end of it where, like, millennial ends and Gen Z begins.
I'm fully Gen Z. I'm 2001, obviously, but, like...
But I just don't find myself relating to some of the... Oh God, some of the things that people say these days, like, skibbity? What is that? Giat? I heard that means you have a big butt.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that one. I feel like I was so in touch with all the trends and, like, all the new words and stuff when I was, like, in high school. And then the second I was, like, at least 2 years out of high school, I was like, I have no idea what's going on anymore.
I had a patient who is much older than me. I'm 24, almost 25. But I had a patient who is
30.
Aaron, continue, Caroline. Stop. I I had a patient that is probably 15 to 20 years older than me say something, and I had no reaction because I didn't know what it meant. But then the other patients were laughing, and it was a terrible sexual innuendo that I just had no idea. Wait, I had to.
What was it?
Muff diving.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Right? And so then I told one of my coworkers.
Wait, we have to make sure that's not worse than it is.
I looked it up. It's not. I mean, nothing. It's bad, but like, I work in a psychiatric unit, so people say things sometimes that aren't always the most appropriate. Usually I know what they mean. This one I didn't know. So I told one of my coworkers, and she was like, oh, you must have been, like, really sheltered as a child. And I was like, well.
I wouldn't.
I mean, I usually know what these things mean.
Yeah,
and
I've usually at least heard of that. Like,
sure.
But, yeah, but that's hilarious. And so, anyways, though, I want to explain what Zillennials are so we can get your guys' take on it. Maybe in a post. Maybe we'll do a poll just for curiosity, and we can kind of mention it in the next episode. But Zillennials are a micro generation of people born between the late millennial and early Gen Z years. So typically between, oh my God, wait, this is 1993 and 1998. We're out of it. Wait, no, that's incorrect. What I've seen is like 98 to like 2003 or something.
Yeah, I've heard 97 to like 2003.
All right, well, hear us out because we feel like Zillennials. So they're considered a micro generation because they're in between two generations. But Zillennials share characteristics of Millennials and Gen Z, but they're considered to be neither fully part of each generation. They grew up with access to the internet, but before the widespread use of social media, mobile phones, and high-speed Wi-Fi. And they also experienced the transition from analog to digital technology. So,
I identify
with that. Like, as a kid, like, we weren't, like, tablet kids. Like, we weren't, like, that didn't come out. Like, the iPhone.
No, we went outside and, like, played outside.
Like, rolled in the dirt.
I used to find worms in the driveway and, like, hand them to Aaron as food. Do you remember?
No. Caroline has a weirdest fucking memory, by the way. She remembers these things from like when we were like 2 and 3, and I'm like, really, you remember that? But my parents are like, oh, like, yeah, that did happen. I'm not sure how you remember that, considering you were 2 years old.
I have a good memory.
It's wild.
No, I do relate to that though, because yes, I'm on with like the current fashion trends. Like, I don't wear skinny jeans. I don't.
You shouldn't ever. No, I'm kidding.
No, you can wear skinny jeans. Like, that is totally fine. I
will never wear skinny jeans.
I don't wear skinny jeans. But I also don't use these, like, terms that everybody is using. And I don't, like, my life doesn't depend on, well, I guess that's a lie. My iPhone is my life. But, like, I didn't grow up with that. Like, I grew up.
No, it was introduced to it. Like we had flip phones.
My first phone.
Like, I'm 23 and you're 24, almost 25. Like, we fully had flip phones. And I didn't get an iPhone until I was in, I don't know.
Ninth grade.
I think we were, like, freshmen in high school.
Yeah, I got my first phone. I think I graduated fifth grade. I got my first phone and I called it the sliding brick because it did have texting. You could slide up and text. But
it was so hard.
It did not have access to, like, the internet. Instagram wasn't even a thing. Like, it's just wild, like, that kids are alive.
Oh, 100%.
Grew up and don't know a time without Instagram.
Exactly. Or Snapchat. And also, I won't lie, like, we had iPods. Remember, we had iPod Touches?
Oh, we did have
iPods. Before
the
iPhone, but, like, that was different. But we got those when we were probably, like, I don't know, like, 12, 13, I want to say. So it came like just before the phones, but like I remember getting Instagram on my iPod, like having no idea what it was.
I
downloaded it because our older cousins had it, and I was like, oh yeah, and I like would post like this random shit, and I was like, oh, everyone can see this. I remember I had to go through everyone and like because I was a public profile. I don't think they had private at the time when they first came out.
No, they didn't because I, again with my memory, I have a vivid memory of putting a fake mustache on my face and taking a mirror picture with the fake mustache and like posting that to Instagram.
The amount of DMs you must have gotten. I'm kidding.
None, because I think the only people that followed me were my two cousins and Aaron. So, like, nobody cared. But it still, like, there was a time where, like, you could post stuff like that to Instagram and, like, nobody cares.
100%. Like, Oh my God. It's just a funny time to think about. So curious what you guys think. Do you identify more with, you know, being a millennial or being Gen Z? You know, do you feel like you are also a zillennial?
Because, somewhere in between.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, again, I don't really identify with either, but I fall somewhere in the middle. So yeah, that's really all we have for you today.
Hope you enjoyed our third episode. This is obviously super fun and we love it here. So we'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. And always remember, feel free to, you know, give us any suggestions of topics you want to hear about. Streaming on all platforms. So, you know, listen to us anywhere. And thanks again for listening.
See you later.
Bye.